I'm getting married.
Yeah, right, yeah. All right, I'm there.
Sure. Okay, no problem.
Everybody's gonna be there.
You kidding me? That was not a joke, guys.
A week from this Saturday, I turn in my amateur standing and I go pro.
I don't believe it.
Come on.
Fuck me. Well, thanks for telling us,
yeah,
man.
You could have told us.
I
mean,
welcome back to yet another thrilling edition of Natsukashi. My name is Rob Rector, and I am happy once again to be accompanied by the indomitable, the impressionable, the indiscriminate.
The confused, the disoriented, the disheveled.
Mr.
Gern Blanston.
Gern Blanston. How have you been, Gern?
You know, we won't go into it. Next question.
Great. Excellent.
I've been fine. Thank you for asking.
It's because we care.
Yeah, I'm sure you all do.
All of us.
Go to my blog, and then you'll see.
All right, so you have chosen this go-round, a little piece that launched into the stratosphere, a career of one bosom buddy, Peter Scolari. No, I'm kidding.
The guy from the Bob
Newhart. Do you think Peter Scolari harbors any ill will?
I'm sure that he has a little Tom Hanks voodoo doll that he sticks pins in. He's probably made him fat because I've noticed Tom's put on a few pounds.
He's kind of like Messina or John Oates.
Yeah, that's sad, the whole John Oates thing.
Well, you all right there?
Did you get my dog in the background?
Yeah, that was good.
He's got a lot to say about this film. It's one of his favorites.
I bet he can relate to at least one of the characters, which we'll talk about later. The title is Bachelor Party.
Bachelor Party, a little piece of cotton candy from the mid-80s.
Yes, 1984, and launched the career of one Tom Hanks.
I mean, did it really launch his career?
He was in He Knows You're Alone, which was in 1980. It was a slasher flick that came out.
Did he do the Daryl Hannah fish film after this one?
This was the same year. It was actually the same year. This and Splash.
Because that would have been really the one that kind of put him over the top.
And let's also note, too, that it launched one career of Adrian Dance Fever Zemed.
Yeah, and I think that we've all just basically sat back in awe and have watched that supernova of a career spread across the sky in large flaming light.
I think we're a better civilization because of it.
Without him, I think the whole leg warmer fad would not have been as successful as it eventually turned out to be.
One last career that it helped catapult is Michael Dudikoff, Mr. American Ninja himself.
Michael Dudikoff. I thought you were going to say Tawny Katane.
Tawny is a segment unto herself.
She's a segment on most of the Entertainment Tonight, TMZ-type shows most of the time.
Poor Tawny Katane. Before we get to her, let's talk about the film itself. It was written and directed by the team of Neil and Bob Israel.
No pun intended.
And directed by Neil Israel. This was kind of their moment in the sun as well, because they had just come off of Police Academy.
Just the first one, or was it Police Academy 6 or 7 or 8? Or?
Let's face it, each one ended in such cliffhanger fashion, you needed to know what the next chapter would be.
It was a serial more than a film. I mean, it was, you know, you really you had to keep going. You had to see what happened next, what new voice the one guy would come up with, what new sound he would mimic. And it was important.
Let's have a bachelor party with chicks and guns and fire trucks and hookers and drugs and booze.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. All the things that make life worth living for.
Go ahead and tell me a little bit about why this is in your mind, why this was one that you have chosen.
I was coming of age as far as partying was concerned. I wanted to be at this party. It was, and I think, and not that I was as critical back then as I am now, it certainly wasn't well written, but Tom Hanks was great and he was funny. The guy made me laugh. And the assortment of characters that they're surrounded by and the things that go on, it kept moving the entire time. There definitely wasn't a slow spot in the middle of the film where they developed the characters. They never worried about doing that too awfully much. It was pretty much straightforward formula, and just at the time it was, hey, they're partying, dude, I'm with you, man. Snuck a couple beers into the Dollar Theater and guzzled right along with them, and I wanted to be at the party. And you know, I think that still translates. I still want to be at the party.
That you still want to be at the party that you're not invited to?
Well, I could be invited. I just have to be home by 8 before the hookers got there. So it would be more or less, you guys have fun, be careful driving and clean up, and I'd probably have to co-sign for the room or something.
What's that old guy doing here?
Well, see, I wouldn't be there long. So
who brought their dad?
By about the time that the messed up adult films in the beginning of the party were over, that's about when I would have had to have left.
That was nap time anyway after that, right?
Yeah, well, it's nap time now, so don't expect much.
I recall this film being, there was no way in hell that my parents were ever going to let me see this film. A, because of the title alone. B, the movie poster had the set of legs that were kind of dangling precipitously in front of gawking eyes.
The dazzled looks of Hanks and the group of friends.
It looked like the poster for The Graduate on Roofies or something.
That's good. Excellent.
Thank you. So there was no way in hell that my parents were ever going to let me see this movie. And I had to wait until, of course, it came on cable and we could sneak it when it showed late at night. And I remember how raucous and ribald it seemed at the time.
Ribald? Good God, what century are we in? It was just a hammering, drinking, drug-snorting good time with hookers, and then there was hookers, and there were some hookers, too.
And a certain animal that was, I believe, acquired from south of the border, if I'm not mistaken.
Ah, yes, the mule, the unfortunate mule. I'm not sure which fate would have been worse if he was able to complete the show, or the fate that actually befell him when he got into the drug stash of the friend from California who was experiencing some emotional problems. Probably the one I identify most with now would be the friend from California that was experiencing the emotional problems after divorce, and yeah, he's probably the one I can identify best with now, but at the time it was just, it was funny. It was like, hey, sadness is funny too.
I'm hungry. I'm cold. And I'm hungry too. Do you hear? No, you don't hear. You don't hear and you don't care.
Oh, God, that's so beautiful. She reminds me of my wife. She was so young when we met. Bitch!
That was Bradford Bancroft, who played Brad Mullen, or Mullen. And when he first appeared, he was the party guy's, guys. And the second that the hugs were over, he launched into a tirade about how bitter he was that his wife had left him, his life was a shambles. And the scene where he's trying to slit his wrists with an electric razor.
Or when he tries to drown himself in the tub that Tom Hanks has pulled the plug on.
Right, right.
And he nails his head and says, pain, what a rush.
Rick, I want to talk to you.
Hey, it's Cole! Did any of you guys order an asshole from room service?
Hey, look, I don't want any trouble, all right?
Oh, look.
Tom Hanks is a slob. He's getting ready to marry a woman who is...
above his station?
Yes, there you go, exactly. She's very affluent, comes from a very prestigious family name, and he doesn't get along well with the parents.
But doesn't seem to care, which was attraction for me at the time. He could have cared less what anybody thought about him.
And his friends want to bid him farewell to a single life by giving him the world's nastiest bachelor party at this swanky hotel.
That party rocked.
It was all happenstance or accidental. It wasn't planned that way. In fact, if everything...
all the plans worked, fell through. People just started showing up, and that's what made a great party. But isn't that always the way? Don't you find that the best things are unplanned? Marriage.
Yes.
Now, liver
I'm a big fan of prearranged marriages, actually. My parents got a couple nice tracts of land.
There's a 14-year-old Korean girl I've had my eye on, so that's a quote from the movie, right?
Yes, you're right.
I have used that quote every since then.
Yeah, but unfortunately, you used that at the adoption agency, and that really didn't go over well. Tell us about it. So here's an interesting note that I found out through the magical world of those internet tubes, that the role of Tawny Kitaen, who we'll get to, was originally played by Kelly McGillis.
They thought she wasn't sexy enough.
And Paul Reiser was scheduled to be in Tom Hanks' shoes.
They threw it out to Julia Louis-Dreyfus, too, didn't they?
Yes. Howie Mandel, Jim Carrey, Tim Robbins. And those were some of the names, but they actually filmed a week's worth of footage with both Kelly McGillis and Paul Reiser.
And no chemistry, nothing going on, and they didn't think she was sexy enough.
Which anyone who's ever seen Witness knows that that is an outright lie, because she was the sexiest Amish girl I have ever seen in my life.
This had to be an 80s big hair, fluff style woman, and Kelly McGillis doesn't strike me as that, whereas Tawny Kitaen fits that role perfectly. And never fit a role perfectly again after that. This role she nailed.
Like a drifter, I was born to walk alone.
let's talk about Tawny Catane and her wondrous high hair, her Chess King-like fashion sense.
Oh, God, I shopped at Chess King. That's mean. That's just mean. And I dated girls with big hair. This was my era. This is my roots. These are my people.
Am I stomping on your dreams?
You were stomping on my past. Actually, it's not a dream. It was actuality. I had some of those shirts and the skinny leather ties and...
Oh, yes, the skinny leather ties, the parachute pants.
That was the first time I had ever seen her in anything. The White Snake videos, I guess, hadn't come out yet at that point, so I had never seen her in anything before, and she was hot in the movie.
She was the it girl of the early 80s. I'm trying to think of, like, a modern-day equivalent now, but...
Lindsay Lohan? I'm just thinking of Trainwreck.
That's true.
Anyway, her parents naming her that, they had to know it was trouble to begin with. It's like naming your kid... Bubbles.
I think she got off better than her sisters, which were Scrappy Catane, and I believe there was a Willowy Catane.
Willowy. It's all had to do with colors. Tawny, like dog colors. Brindle Catane, I think, was one.
Muddy.
Chocolate.
Poor Tawny. After this, she went on to a brief dating spell with O.J. Simpson, where she might have picked up some of her felonious ways.
Oh, sure. It was O.J. that got her involved in drugs and bought her down. See, she was fine before O.J.
She married Chuck Finley, who was a pitcher. He played for the Indians, played for the Cards.
I knew he was Major League. I didn't know what teams he played for. I just knew she beat the crap out of him.
Poor Chuck, he ended up on the wrong end of a high heel.
Oh, poor Tawny. It was a downward spiral. It was a tough time for her.
Well, she was arrested for kicking him in the head with her high heel and twisting his ear. I didn't know that was actually something that you could actually be charged for, ear twisting, but I guess that's right up there with Indian burning and titty twisting.
It is. And pink belly.
Yes. And purple nurples.
Kicking him in the head was unintentional. She was actually trying to do a split on the hood of the car. And she just cut it in the head with her foot. I mean...
I get it now.
Give the lady a break.
Gentlemen, ladies, for your viewing pleasure, meet Max, the magical sexual mule!
Jeez, a donkey that doesn't want to be recognized? Something interesting is going to happen here.
Have you ever heard of sexual positions that everyone's heard of, but no one's actually ever really tried?
Nasty Sanchez.
The Dirty Sanchez.
Yeah, that too. Both of those. Dirty and the Nasty.
Steamer, all those. And this fabled Tijuana donkey show was always one that you'd always hear about, but never see. And, of course, they brought it to the fore.
Well, you speak for yourself there.
Okay, well, that's something for
you. Don't know where I've been.
Your conscience and your therapist to deal with. And your wife, after hearing this.
I'm never going to let her hear this. I've never even told her that there's a website that does this.
So they brought this to the fore, and this woman was supposed to perform certain acts of a sexual nature with a donkey who...
But it never... In the movie's defense, it never progressed to that point. They killed the animal off by a massive overdose of drugs first, so...
And in homage to Animal House, actually had it its four legs poking up out of the bottom part of the picture when it was discovered by the uptight hotel clerk.
Is that the way it always is with equines? When they die, do they always go 4 feet right up in the air?
Immediate rigor mortis is what I understand.
From what I've seen in the movies, that's what happens. They go right 4 feet up. They tell you that the movies aren't educational, and yet look.
Exactly.
Hey, let's talk.
Hey, bro. What it be?
You're a pimp? You look like Gandhi.
I'm telling you I am, Joe.
I want women.
I got women. They sit on your face. Anything you want.
Great. I want some. How much?
Big hassle now, bro. Soon they go to customers.
I got a bachelor party at the Parkview Hotel.
That would be out of sight, dude. Customers in same hotel.
Great.
Let you have them at cut rate price for 45 minutes. $200.
Great. So, 45 minutes. No problem. Room 1002.
Not 1 minute longer, or Milt will come for you.
Milt?
This being Milt? Pretty heavy, hey, dude?
This is the first time I've been really introduced to a wonderfully ethnically diverse cast of pimps.
The Indian pimp was one of my favorites, and his heavy milt.
You've revisited this bachelor party now that you have since gone on, gotten married, had your bachelor party.
You were at my first bachelor party, weren't you?
No, I was sleeping over a friend's house that night. No, I do remember your first bachelor party. It was really quite a sad affair when we think about it.
It was horrible.
Your apartment, all of our relatives were there, and then I just have to mention this. We had one stripper there.
You're going to talk about the stripper, aren't you?
One stripper who came in, brought her own boombox, and she starts stripping, and then somebody flicked on the light because it was like almost pitch black in there, and I just remember her turning around going, "Turn off the light!"
I think she actually, when the lights went on, she actually turned around and hissed first. Like they do, you know, in the vampire.
The side of her face started to sing.
Turn the lights out. But my best man did get quite a deal on that lap dance.
But did she change his oil, too, after she got done?
Right, absolutely, yeah, and rotated the tires.
Yeah, and I don't mean that in a metaphoric sense, either. I mean that quite literally, that she, like, popped the hood.
Just for the record, that was my first marriage. My second marriage, there was no bachelor party. By that time, I was almost completely emasculated, and I simply went out to dinner with my best man. Had a glass of wine. Good vintage.
Guys, this is Chippendale star attraction, Mr. Nicholas, better known as Nick the Dick.
Nick the what?
The Dick.
Hey!
Ho, ho, ho!
Okay.
Man, hey!
Uh-huh. Hey, and, personally, I was impressed when they opened the World Trade Center, but this is a piece of work.
Oh, yeah.
Well, let's get this thing.
So how did this hold up for you?
Hanks's performance still held up. I still think the man was funny in... if it had been almost anyone else, that film could have been absolutely mediocre to horrible. And it's not that it's some great piece of film, but he's still funny and still comes off sincere when he needs to. And there's still some funny moments in it. I don't appreciate it as much as I used to, and certainly the cast of characters surrounding don't hold up nearly as well. They are definitely two-dimensional. But you could tell that Hanks was bound for something bigger, and that this was... The material wasn't up to his standard. Not so much he wasn't up to the material standard. Yeah, I still don't. I don't want to go to the party anymore. I'm tired.
It's nap time. I think that you're right. On this film, you can really witness someone just completely seizing inferior material and making it special. I mean, and this film is not some miracle of cinema by any means.
You know, it had to be a lot of improvisation on his part, because I don't think that some of that stuff that he came up with could have been written that way. He had to run with a lot of stuff, because there's a lot of Hanks in it.
You could tell that he was very comfortable with not just his environment, but himself as an actor. He was a very comfortable actor, and it really showed in scenes like that and others, where you're right, it just seemed to be Tom Hanks being Tom Hanks.
It moves fast, and it's good for what it is. It's a funny little bit. It's definitely very representative of the time, from the clothes down to the mannerisms and the way people talk and the way that they act. A average flick still held up okay for me. I still had fun.
I agree. And I enjoyed this party still the second time around as well. When I rented this through Netflix, I got it in, and on the cover, you know, it talks about, oh, Tom Hanks would probably like to forget this film ever existed. And I think there are many other films that are on his resume that he would probably... I mean, it took him 4 years after this to really launch before Big. You know, he was in The Man with One Red Shoe, Volunteers, Nothing in Common.
I liked Man with One Red Shoe.
Money Pit I actually liked. And it also said, it says, look briefly for a cameo, a near-nude cameo from a young Meryl Streep, and I have scoured the internet looking for any kind of connection. She is not in this movie. So anyone who decides to rent this on Netflix, they're a bunch of freaking liars, man.
And Meryl Streep had been in movies before this.
Oh, yeah. I mean, she was an established actress at this point.
Somebody screwed that up. Obviously, they have interns that are writing some of the copy on that.
She was in Kramer versus Kramer at that point. She'd done Sophie's Choice. She had done Silkwood. So, you know.
Yeah, come on.
There was no need for her to show her goods
I wouldn't know why Hanks would look back and want to avoid that film. Like I said, it was a showcase for him. He got a chance to take pretty mediocre material and be the star. It, if nothing else, it was a good exercise for him as an actor.
Agreed.
Because
Agreed.
He shined in it. And without him, the film would have just been nothing. And he's what I remember most about it. He's what I enjoyed most about it when I watched it again. And that'll be my permanent memory of that film, will be that I thought it was a great performance from him. Put him on my map. I don't know if it was his establishing film, but that was the film I remembered him first from, and then after that I've enjoyed quite a lot of what he's done. I still think he's great.
And
so.
I would have to say, too, that this is probably the best on-screen performance of a mule that I've seen. And I'm talking about, I've seen Francis the Talking, I have seen Clerks 2, and really none of them quite had the same range as the mule in this movie, because if you look closely, he did do those lines of cocaine, which was, that was pretty tricky. It wasn't like they just...
It was probably more difficult than Gary Sinise in Forrest Gump having to play a man with missing two legs when he actually had the legs,
right,
for that mule to actually contort himself down to effectively snort a line. And, you know, snorting a line of cocaine is, from what I understand and I've read in magazines, is not an easy thing to do, and completely manage to ingest that entire line without spilling some or sneezing and blowing the rest of it. He did well, and then lapped up a bunch of barbiturates and stimulants afterwards. I applaud the mule.
Think of the method acting that it took for this mule. He had to overcome his fear of claustrophobia, which he had in the elevator scene, and then lie right. completely still. I mean, he did a deathbed scene in there. So that was quite an accomplishment for sure. our four-legged friend.
And that freeze of him when he actually has the massive coronary from the overdose of drugs, they do the freeze frame where you see his face kind of, and then he dies. So
De Niro's got nothing on him.
I don't know what work he did after that. Probably just a lot of dinner theater.
I think he was in The Gift of the Magi after this.
I believe he was in one of the animals in the corral in Dances with Wolves, maybe third mule from the left.
He was in Seven yeah. Years in Tibet with Brad Pitt. If you look closely, he was Mule Without Sherpa.
Oh, right. I
My
remember
favorite
that.
Of all the mules
Outstanding
there.
Performance.
And most recently, he was in an Elmer's Glue Bottle.
Ouch. And the people from PETA go wild.
So, Gern, any final comments? Any final recollections?
Bachelor Party, not as stunning as the first viewing when I was younger. It spoke to me more directly then, but still an enjoyable film, a lark. If you enjoyed it then, watch it again. You'll have a good time. Laugh, drink, avoid the drugs, avoid the mule. Have a good time.
Yeah, and you know what? I think, honestly, for as risque as it was supposed to be, I think this was a rather tame movie. I mean, aside from a bevy of bare breasts, I think that, by and large, this film was rather tame for all the animal loving that we're talking about here. Nothing really that debaucherous took place. I mean, it was all rather tame compared to the semen drinking kind of escapades that take place in modern movies now.
Let's be honest, this is a love story. This is the true love between two people, and how even in the face of temptation, you can still remain true to that love, and I think Hanks pulled that off.
Yours! Yeah! Take that off, baby! Take it off! Take it off! And shot it off! Kill him, what's up? I'm gonna be better!
Oh, God. This doesn't waste any time, does
it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, 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 my God!
Oh, oh, no! Lay that pipe! Jab it home, brother! Give it to her! Give it to her!
This is a good...
Very, very well done and very well said. And, sir, with that, I bid you adieu. Thank you very much for joining us again on this edition of Natsukashe.
It's always a minor pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you. I will take that and mount that on my shelf with all my awards from my spelling bees.
You just go ahead. You mount that wherever you want to.
Sir, can't wait for the next contribution. Thank you very much. Please come join us again for yet another edition of Natsukashe. Have a good evening, Gern.
Good night, all.
Good night.
I don't know where I'm going, but I sure know where I've been. Hanging on the promises and the songs of yesterday, and I've made up my mind. I ain't wasting no more time. Here I go again. Scream!